Grace and peace to you from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We have quite a quandary here before us today. Seems somebody has snuck into the last Sunday of the church year, which ought to be about Jesus' triumphant coming and waves and horses and, you know, angels coming with myriad and looking up in the sky and seeing him come. But instead, someone has misplaced our end of the year readings with this reading from Good Friday. I wonder who we call to impeach somebody for this. Somebody's colluding somewhere. I don't know. It is a little odd, but it's really no mistake. I had to go and look at the lessons myself to go, what in the world? And going, oh, we do this every 3 years. Silly me. But Good Friday is an appropriate text for today because Good Friday is the beginning of the end. Good Friday is the lens through which we see all Christian theology. Everything that came before it leads up to this great moment, and everything that follows it points back to this great moment. It is the day that literally changed the entire world. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Now, generally, when we come to this text, whether it be the end of the church year or like today, usually we focus on God's great love for us. How can Jesus pray such amazing words at such a time and for such a people? I mean, he's praying for those who are at the foot of the cross. These are the people who held the hammer. These are the people who held his feet and his hands. They mocked him. They spit on him. They made faces. They bit. They made faces at him and spit upon him. And he says, Father, forgive them. Make this forgiveness that I am providing for them through my life and death, make this forgiveness available to them. But today we want to look at the second part of this text. It says, for they know not what they do. And in context, they certainly don't know what they're doing. I mean, they have no idea that they're looking at Jesus Christ who created all things. They don't know that the feet that they pierced have walked in the Garden of Eden. They didn't know that the crown that they placed a crown of thorns on, that head knew all things. They didn't know. They didn't know that his death was their death. They had no idea the cosmic forces going on right here in their presence. Kind of like us, huh? We like to think that we know. That's the problem, you see. From Adam and Eve all the way down through the generations, we think we know. We think we've got it all figured out. We think we are so much smarter than everybody else that came before us. And we think we've got it all figured out. Those who put Jesus on the cross thought they knew what they were doing. I mean, they did. They thought they knew what they were doing. Other than maybe a couple of the centurions, most of the people assembled around that cross went home feeling really good about themselves. They had done God a great service by killing this rabble-rouser, this blasphemer, this rebel before God. They thought that they knew what God was doing. If Jesus really is God, then jump down from that cross and save yourself, they asked. On the other side of the cross, you could see the believers who were there, the assembly of the women and John who looked up and who believed that Jesus is indeed the Son of God made flesh, and they look at him dying there and they've got to be wondering, does Jesus really know what he's doing? Is this really the plan? Again, we hear it from the prophet Malachi today. The people were saying, "What we're doing what we're supposed to be doing, what God told us to do. We mourn for our sins, we repent, we sacrifice, but what is it getting us? I mean, the arrogant ones are blessed. The evildoers seem to continue to prosper. They put God to the test. They put God to the test with their sins. They put Him to the test with their perversions, with their hard-heartedness, and they get away with it, and then nothing seems to happen. Does God really know what He's doing? I mean, come on. We all know what God ought to be doing, right? I got a couple of good ideas. God should be prospering us, blessing us, giving unto us, helping us, making our lives better, and punishing them. But does God really know what He's doing? Evil continues to advance. Does God really know what He's doing? And we continue to struggle. Does God really know what He's doing? Because it doesn't seem to be getting any better. It seems to be getting more difficult. It seems to be getting harder. Not easier. Maybe Jesus was right. Maybe we don't know what we're doing. I mean, look at how often our best laid plans just don't work out. Look at how often we thought that we were going to do a good turn and it turns out to be bad. Or how often we thought that we were going to help somebody but we hurt them instead. We thought we had it all planned out. We thought we had it all worked out and then everything changed, or worse, it didn't change at all. I don't know what's worse. Being the change you want to see in the world or being the change you want to see in the world. The truth is, there's a lot more that's going on than meets the eye. In other words, God can chew gum and walk at the same time. He's pretty smart. He's really good at running the creation that He created. God tells us through Malachi, the day is coming. Then you will see what you don't see now. But we want to see it now, don't we? We want to see God punish the evildoers. The problem with that is, what happens if He changes His mind and starts doing it? It's going to be pretty dreadful. It's going to be a bloody scene. I mean, just rush hour traffic on 26 every morning, and there are going to be lightning bolts and car crashes. It'll take us a month to pull the wreckage off of the interstate. We hurt people, right? We lie, we lust, we doubt, we disbelieve, we covet and we take, we rebel. We do not love God with our whole heart. We do not love God with our whole mind. We do not love God with our whole soul. We don't love God with all of our strength, not all of the time. There's a lot more going on than what meets the eye. Paul tells the Colossians that Jesus is the creator of all things visible and invisible. We say it in the creed every week. I believe that God created everything that is visible and invisible. My point is, I think there's a lot more going on that's invisible than what we give ourselves credit for. We like to think that we can see what's going on and we know what's going on when we don't know the half of it. We don't know a fraction of it. It's almost as if what God is doing is an iceberg, and sticking up out of that water, you see 10% of that iceberg. And we think, oh, there's God working on the lives of everybody around us. But in the reality, 90% of that iceberg is below the water and we never see it. And yet we think we know what's going on. We think we know what's going on in the lives of our neighbors and our friends. We like to think we know what's going on in our distant relatives and our families. We like to think we know what's going on in our neighbors' lives, but we barely can understand what's going on in our own lives. Barely. And that's when my plans are working out right. Imagine what happens when they don't work out correctly. There's more going on than meets the eye. Especially this is true of the cross. Yes, contrary to what the eye can see, there is no criminal on that middle cross. That man is the very Son of God, Lamb of God, who takes away the sins of the world, who brings atonement for your selfishness, brings atonement And I know it doesn't always look like it. But I can assure you God does know what He's doing. The day is coming when we will see that. The disciples saw it 3 days after the cross when Jesus rose from the dead, and they're in the upper room and He says, "See, it's me. Here, feel my hands and my feet. Feel my side." Before it was bleak and desolation. After it was truth and joy. And so it is for us. On that last day, it will be seen, but not before. Now in this time before, we have words. We have words of promise of what God has spoken to us in the past. We have words of faith that we can rely upon as we move forward into the future. And later on, much later on, then it will be seen. But now, we say with the criminal hanging next to Jesus, "Remember me. Remember me in my sad state. Remember me, Jesus, when you come into your kingdom." The tree of the cross that looked like defeat restores paradise. And for now, ascended into His kingdom, ruling all things for us and for our salvation, Jesus is remembering us. He is forgiving us in His work as High Priest and Savior, as He did to the thief that was next to Him. "You will be with me in paradise." When we baptize our babies in the waters of God, Jesus is there. "You will be with me in paradise." When you believe the gospel, Jesus is there. "You will be with me in paradise." When you receive the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, Jesus is there. "You will be with me in paradise." When you are absolved from your sins, Jesus is there saying, "You will be with me in paradise." And I don't know when that day will be. I just hope it's not today. I don't know when it'll be. I don't know when it'll be for anybody. Some of us will go peaceful. Others may go in hard and gruesome ways. But however it is for today, for you, when you enter into the peace of your Lord, it will be a day of joy. Paul says in our epistle, Colossians 1, "Delivered from the domain of darkness, transferred into the kingdom of His beloved Son, in whom we have redemption and the forgiveness of sins." As you have Him now, you have His forgiveness now. You have His kingdom now, even if you can't see it. Even when we don't understand it. For in fact, God does know what He's doing. He always has. He knows what He's doing. He's always working for our good. Always working that we might hear those precious words, "Father, forgive them." These are the words that Jesus spoke from the first until the last. The words that He wants you to hear, the words that the Lord God wants you to have dwelling richly within you. These are His words from the beginning of your life until the end of your life. And on that day, on that last day, that great and final and terrible day, the one who would not come down from the cross will pull you up from your grave, saying, "Welcome home, my child. Welcome home. Welcome to paradise. My good and faithful servant." Amen. And blessed be the Lord of glory.